President Biden once again flip-flops on Israel, condemning the ICC's arrest warrants of Netanyahu.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
It's Logan Seculo, that's right. I'm here with Will Haynes, executive producer. We've got some interesting things to cover today. We've got some great guests coming up. Let me pull up my list of who we got going on. Jeff Balaban's calling in. He'll be joining us in the next segment from ACLJ Jerusalem. Then we have Christy Campagnone, who's one of our ACLJ attorneys with a big ACLJ win. You'll find out how the ACLJ is actively working for you on the individual level and how you can get engaged as well. If you have need legal help, we are there for you. Later on in the broadcast, Harry Hutchinson's going to be joining us to talk about sort of the condolences that have been going around for the Iranian leader killed in that helicopter crash, also known as the Butcher of Tehran. So we're going to go through how the U.S. and some of our leaders have had their moments of celebration, not celebration, of mourning the death of this guy who is responsible for the deaths of probably hundreds of thousands of his own people. But that's not what we're going to start with. We're going to start with President Biden, who yesterday, right after we went off the air, we talked about the ICC had the International Criminal Court, for those who don't know, the court that, you know, kind of controls the world, if you will, except for a few specific countries. And we'll say America's one of those, and Israel's actually one of those as well. But they issued arrest warrants for Benjamin Netanyahu as well as some other leaders. With that, obviously, comes restrictions amongst travel, where you can go, who can you talk to? And we were wondering, would the U.S. respond? And the U.S. did respond pretty great, pretty quickly. But of course, this is coming from the Biden administration, so there's only two options. Either President Biden has a conscience, actually believing what he's saying, but he doesn't have the strength to get his own administration surrounding him to go with his message, or they're just trying to talk out of both sides of their mouths to make sure that the Jewish community is happy, the Israeli community is happy, as well as the pro-Hamas wing of the Democratic Party is happy. I want to hear from you. Which one do you think it is? Because here's what President Biden had to say.
Let me be clear. We reject the ICC's application for arrest warrants against Israeli leaders. Whatever these warrants may imply, there is no equivalence between Israel and Hamas. And it's clear, Israel wants to do all it can to ensure civilian protection. But let me be clear, contrary to allegations against Israel made by the International Court of Justice, what's happening is not genocide. We reject that. We'll always stand with Israel and the threats against its security.
So President Biden once again says what you would like him to say, which was, this is not genocide that Israel is doing. The ICC is ridiculous and completely off base, and we unequivocally support our friends in Israel. However, Will, the actions haven't said that, and I want to hear from you right now. What do you think? Do you think this is President Biden having a conscience, saying what he actually believes, showing that he supports the state of Israel, but because of the fact that he has no control of his administration, they're not even going to listen to him? Or do you think this is his administration intentionally planting these moments so they can look back and go, see what he did? But over here, we're not sending weapons. Over here, we're holding out restrictions. Over here, we are calling for sanctions and saying this is war crimes, potentially.
That's right. And just last week, we saw a report that was sent to Congress by the State Department that said that they believe Israel likely was violating international law in Gaza. So at one point, they're sending a report to Congress, his administration is, saying that Israel's violating international law. And then you have the president saying the right thing and saying they're not committing genocide. These arrest warrants are not right. We condemn them. So they are indeed speaking out of both sides of their mouths. And we're going to talk with Jeff Balaban about it in the next segment.
That's right. Jeff Balaban, head of ACLJ Jerusalem, is going to be joining us. Look, this is some trying times for Israel. We need your support right now. I'm going to encourage you to sign our new petition. The chief prosecutor of the ICC, they again just announced yesterday, they're going to seek arrest warrants for Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Not only are they facing attacks from Hamas and Iran, now it's coming from the ICC through lawfare. At the ACLJ, though, we're fighting back. We're demanding the Biden administration right now put sanctions in place on the ICC for this abhorrent attack on Israel. President Biden, you said those words. Show us in strength. We just filed two critical written submissions to the UN to defend Israel and expose their plot, Iran's plot, to utterly destroy the Jewish state. You can be a part of it right now. Take action. Go to aclj.org/sign and give me a call. Taking your calls. Coming up. Seculo. We are joined by Jeff Balaban, who is joining us. He is the head of the ACLJ office in Jerusalem. Jeff, we just played a clip, and maybe we should reset it and play that clip again for President Biden saying the words you wish he would say, but again, the actions don't necessarily align with it. And for those of you watching right now, we got a bunch of lines open. I want to hear from you, because to me, there are two options here, and I want to know from you, and then I'll ask Jeff as well. When you hear these words from President Biden saying all the things you think he should say in support of Israel, in support of the Jewish people, but then you see what his administration does when they start going out there challenging, essentially accusing war crimes and doing all of this, do you think this is that President Biden has a conscience and is saying what he believes, but he's not a strong enough leader to rally his own administration behind his beliefs? Maybe they're strongly held beliefs, but he can't get his administration behind it. Or do you think this is the administration just talking out of two sides of their mouth? They were at a event at the Rose Garden. This was a Jewish event supporting
Jewish Heritage Day.
So obviously, you're not going to go out there and give a pro-Hamas speech. But here's what he said, and then let's get to Jeff.
Let me be clear. We reject the ICC's application for arrest warrants against Israeli leaders. Whatever these warrants may imply, there is no equivalence between Israel and Hamas. And it's clear Israel wants to do all it can to ensure civilian protection. But let me be clear, contrary to allegations against Israel made by the International Court of Justice, what's happening is not genocide. We reject that. We will always stand with Israel and the threats against its security.
So, Jeff, you hear that? We obviously know what this administration is doing. What's your thoughts?
Look, Logan, we know exactly how we got here. We know exactly why the ICC is doing this. The Biden administration, from the top down, from the president, Biden, to Vice President Harris, to Secretary of State Blinken, have been trafficking nonstop in lies and libels about how Israel is defending itself. They've been using Hamas's numbers. They've been using the terrorist talking points. And you know what? This is not the first time that someone's accused Israel of genocide. Biden's he makes speeches at universities where he feeds this beast. He knows, everybody knows that out in the streets of America and the campuses, people are yelling that Israel's genocidal. He has not said a word about it. So there's no question this is some kind of a course correction, as though, you know, he sounds as though he's outraged by it. He is directly the prime cause of this. The ICC has been waiting very patiently for an anti-Israel leader to be in the White House so they could do things like this. So yes, he's trying to course correct. Does he personally believe Israel's committing genocide? I have no idea what he personally believes. It doesn't really matter what he personally believes. It matters what he uses the bully pulpit of the presidency to do. And what he's been doing is maligning Israel from the beginning.
And Jeff, when you look at the nature of how they put these statements out, whenever it's something against Israel is proactive, whether it being pausing munitions, that's a proactive move against Israel to not let them have the munitions they need, or whether it be the statement they put before Congress that said Israel is likely in violation of international law in the way that they're conducting Gaza. But it's not like the Biden administration hasn't heard the chants of genocide throughout the entire country on college campuses for months now. And it took the ICC saying they're filing applications for arrest warrants for them to come out and say, no, we don't think it's genocide. So Right. It's always too little too late when there's something bad that happens to Israel. But they are more than happy to get ahead of things and punish Israel proactively, whether it be people in Judea and Samaria, whether it be munitions, any of the details when they are going to take an action. If it is against Israel, proactive. If it is in reactionary, it's when something bad happens to Israel.
That's right. I agree with you 100%, William. I agree with you, Logan. This is too little too late. And the idea of doing this to try and please the audience, you know, America, they can't tell America that Israel's evil, even though a lot of their base seems to believe that, because that's what they've been raised on for the last 25, 30 years. All right. Certainly they've been raised on it since the Obama administration, that Israel is evil, Israel shouldn't exist. But they recognize that the vast majority of America, just like the vast majority of America, may not be their most important issue, but they're uncomfortable with a lot of what the left is doing, the same progressive left, in terms of the way they're, you know, sexualizing children in preschools. And so it whether this is their primary issue or not, when it gets too far and it catches their attention, then the Democrats have to course correct just politically. I think what we're seeing here is course correcting politically. Whether Joe Biden believes or doesn't believe this himself, I don't know that Joe Biden's scruples have come into play at all during this administration. But as you say, they're proactively, they're chastising Israel, they're creating Israel, making Israel into a villain. And then when it goes too far, they're using it as an excuse to say, hey, look at us, we're really Israel's friend. And they're talking out of both sides of the mouth. And the end of the day, what this amounts to is a lot of death over in the Middle East.
I think when you look back historically, it wasn't like Israel was that big of a topic that polarized the political side of it. There were a lot of Democrats, there still are, there are a lot of Democrats that were some of the biggest Zionists, maybe sitting there in Washington, D.C., people who were actively, you may have disagreed with them on everything else, but Israel was sort of that one topic. You could even say, like a Chuck Schumer, who at the time, he certainly was no friend to us on a lot of the topics, but Israel seemed to be that one that was a bit of a uniter. But you're right, the propaganda that's been pitched to people over the last 20 years, we are now seeing the fruit of that. While you have some of these old school Democrats holding on to their ideals, but now trying to still win over that young voter.
Yeah, well, this specifically, I'll tell you when the division really happened. So people you can get general bipartisan agreement on are sort of insignificant issues, which they make the proxy, which is foreign aid, which then becomes a fight. But the real core issue really divided over Oslo, where Israel decided to take a colossal risk under tremendous pressure to say, sure, we'll negotiate with these terrorists called the Palestine Liberation Organization. Right. Until then, there really were no Palestinians. It was invented by the Palestine Liberation Organization. And then and under Oslo, all of a sudden, Israel, under pressure, agreed to try and negotiate. Well, that immediately became a whole new narrative on the left, which is, oh, well, now the Palestinians are people. It's not an ideology. It's not a terrorist death cult, which is what the PLO actually is. It's a people. And all of a sudden, there's a new narrative. And that has created a huge divide over the last three decades in Washington. So they can agree on, let's support our ally Israel. But the Democrats have gone, especially since Obama, full bore into there is a right for the PLO to have its own state. That is absolutely not historically true. It's not legally true. It's definitely not morally true. And that's where you see this giant divide. And that's why the narrative is now that Israel is genocidal. No, it's not. Israel's just trying to survive. The notion of a Palestinian state threatens its existence. But the Palestinians, well, they actually were never a people. In fact, you know this on ACLJ, on our website, we have a video explaining the history here. This it's a new narrative, and the Democrats have jumped right into it, and that's causing this division. It's become a zero-sum game, the survival of Israel or a Palestine river to the sea, and that's where you see this crisis. Joe Biden is more old school, and that's also why you may see he's not quite as extreme as much of his base.
Secretary Mike Pompeo, when he was Secretary of State, actually issued sanctions against individuals involved with the International Criminal Court. I know there's a bill in Congress right now that was put forward by Congressman Chip Roy, and that Speaker of the House Johnson has signaled some support for. Do you think that this could be a time where, after this statement from Joe Biden, they could hold his feet to the fire and maybe get something positive done to restrict the ICC here a little bit?
Well, I know that this is obviously something the ACLJ has been working on for a long time. The ICC is, you know, a rogues gallery of nation states that we know has it in not just for Israel, but even more so for America. And so America is not a signatory. Part of the reason is that it's unconstitutional for America to be a signatory to this group that's going to try American citizens under their own rules. But it's also more than that. It's politically, they know that this group wouldn't waste any time to challenge America's justice and America's activities abroad. And so Israel, for Israel, it's a survival issue. For America, it's an important issue, but it's by no means a survival issue. And that's one of the things that we at the ACLJ have fought for years, for both Americans and for Israel's interests, against, not within, but against really this, what's essentially, as far as we're concerned, for Israel and America, a kangaroo court.
Yeah, absolutely. Jeff, thank you so much for joining us. I really want to encourage people right now. You've heard from Jeff Balaban from our office at ACLJ Jerusalem. This is what Antony Blinken said, okay? This is what he said. The United States has been clear since well before the current conflict that the ICC has no jurisdiction over this matter. The ICC was established by its state parties as a court of limited jurisdiction. Those limits are rooted in principles which do not appear to have been applied here. Again, saying all the words you want to hear. Now we need to hold their feet to the fire to make sure they actually stand up. And that's where I need you. As you saw, the ICC issued those arrest warrants, not just for people in Hamas, not just for leadership of Hamas, but for Benjamin Netanyahu, for some of the top leaders in Israel. And not only are they facing those attacks from Hamas now, now they're facing the International Criminal Court, which again sounds like it's some lofty thing that maybe not be real, sounds a little New World Order-y, a little UN-y. It is totally real. It has real implications. The ACLJ, we're fighting back. You heard President Biden say the right thing. You heard Antony Blinken say the right thing. Well, now they actually have to do it. So stand with us right now. We are demanding the Biden administration put sanctions in place on the ICC because of this abhorrent attack on Israel. So what I'm encouraging you to do right now, we need you to take action with us. Go to aclj.org/sign, sign the petition. Hundreds of thousands of you have already. We need stronger voices. Not only can we take, you know, issues that go involving the law, we also take your voice and we spread it around the planet. We need you right now. aclj.org/sign. Give me a call, 1-800-684-3110. Coming back with a big win, a little bit more of a fun story for you from the ACLJ. Welcome back to Seculo. Joining us now, Christy Capagnone, Senior Managing Counsel for the ACLJ. A fun win, if you will, from the ACLJ. We always like to highlight these, Will. We like to bring on our lawyers to tell you, you know, what the ACLJ is doing. You hear us on sort of the big level, on the ICC, that we're going after them, that their, you know, support of or their lack of support of Israel, and them calling for warrants out for the rest of Benjamin Netanyahu, and how the ACLJ team can get involved in those big global issues. But also, the bread and butter of the organization, what keeps us going, are these cases on the individual level. And I want you to hear this story. But first, if this resonates with you, if you feel like this is something that has happened to you or something similar has happened to you recently, and you think you could use some legal help, go to aclj.org/help. Fill out that simple form. You'll be attached to an ACLJ attorney at absolutely no cost. So I want to make sure that is clear. We are supported individually by ACLJ supporters and ACLJ champions. We can't do it without you, but because of you, we're able to take on these cases for people who likely would not have had the financial ability to hire a lawyer and do this. But Christy, I want you to give us sort of a breakdown of this case because it seems very simple. And oftentimes it is. It's just people who don't understand the rule of law and what we're doing here at the ACLJ. So go ahead.
Exactly. So we had a great win for our client who works at a hospital in Kansas. And she was told by her supervisor that Bible studies with coworkers are prohibited. And she didn't take that answer lying down. She went up to the HR and pushed all the way up to their legal, saying, well, wait a minute, can I have a private Bible study on my time off in my office or in the cafeteria? And even the hospital's legal team told her, no, that she couldn't do that, that it was prohibited on anywhere on the hospital premises, including where other people are allowed to go and play cards or have book clubs or anything else. Think of a cafeteria in a hospital. All sorts of conversations are happening by anyone. It's a public domain. It's a public area. So I was very grateful when she came to us and we wrote a demand letter very quickly to that same attorney who told her no. And we got a rapid response back where they didn't go as far as apologizing, but did say that she may discuss the Bible or her faith or anything else with any employee who wants to talk with her, as long as it's somewhere that isn't, you know, patient care areas. So that would include the cafeteria, just like we had demanded. So it was a great victory for her. And I'm glad to say we resolved it swiftly.
And these sound like small wins. And I just want people to understand, Will, how important, obviously, this is to this individual's life and yours, by the way, because this, at the end of the day, sets precedent that the ACLJ can come in and do this for you, because they sound like small wins. But at the end of the day, it is somebody who just simply wanted to practice their faith, like you said, in essentially a public space, in a cafeteria, have a Bible study time, say some prayers, do what they need to do quietly themselves. You know, a overzealous boss figure comes in, stops this from happening. Maybe they're misinformed. Maybe they don't know. That's oftentimes what we find out. Is there a school, especially in schools, they hear the words, you know, separation of church and state. I guess separation of church and hospital at this point. Though you've been to, how many hospitals you've been to that are, one, run by religious organizations, or two, have like prayer rooms, have a chapel. Pretty much every hospital I've ever been into has that. But that doesn't stop for just, like you said, the customers, if you will, of the hospital. That also has to reflect back on the employees of this business. But this is why the ACLJ, again, has to get involved. And sometimes it can get be done quick.
Well, and that's one point I want to bring up, is that it wasn't as if this was just one person made a mistake. The employee was told by her boss that she had offended others in a meeting.
Oh, yeah. Go through that. Lead us through this.
Yeah. Well. So the employee had brought this up in a meeting and was told by her direct supervisor that she had offended others by bringing up Bible studies in that meeting. And so then she went to HR, and HR seemed okay at first. But then, as Christy pointed out, it made it all the way up to corporate legal, who then shut it down, which you would think the legal department would be the ones that would know it's okay. But when it goes through all these layers, and then she contacts the ACLJ, we also have a record that we can go and inform many layers of this company and this hospital of the truth. And that's where we start off with a demand letter. And Christy, just I want you to tell our audience what the importance of that tool is in a legal arsenal when you go against a misinformed company or school. Or
you say a demand letter, these are pretty serious documents coming from an organization called the American Center for Law and Justice. They take it seriously.
Exactly. I mean, we don't have to rush into court because we do have these tools that are able to resolve it without having to spend a significant time and money to try to go and fight this. Instead, we can just directly contact the hospital or a school or your workplace. And normally they'll send it on to their attorney because they know better than to talk directly to us without an attorney and getting involved. And most of the time we're able to resolve it there because the attorney should know the law. The attorney certainly isn't going to be able to argue with us without us bringing in the big guns of talking about Title VII of the Civil Rights Act and what the Supreme Court has held. And so as soon as we lay out those legal arguments, we talk about the Supreme Court case Bostock v. Clayton County, where it said that discrimination exists as soon as you are treating one coworker differently than another simply based on their religion. And once we start bringing out Supreme Court cases, it's very hard for the other side to make any arguments against it. And they very quickly comply.
Absolutely. And that is why we're here. And you said it great. That is what we're doing here. And I was on a call with you and your team yesterday. This is not a single one case that's happening. We have so many that are happening. We're just focusing on this one today because there was a victory. But all of these individual cases, they can go all the way to the Supreme Court of the United States, but some of them can be resolved very quickly with a legal demand letter that says, you're doing something wrong. They get a letter. Again, we're polite, firm, but polite. We take care of it and it gets handled. Now, I know a lot of you are listening going, oh man, I've had something like this happen to me recently, but I didn't know what I could do. I didn't know I could just call the ACLJ or fill out the form on the website, get attached to a lawyer at no cost. You can. It's very easy. All you have to do is go to aclj.org/help. Once you do that, it's a simple form. And if it's within our scope, you're immediately attached to our lawyer at absolutely no cost. And you say, Logan, how do you do this with absolutely no cost? How does the ACLJ stand up and support all these people? Well, we can't do it without you, who also financially support the ACLJ. So while we're able to offer free legal services, that is because there are ACLJ donors and champions. And a champion is someone who gives to the ACLJ on a monthly recurring basis, essentially recurring donation at any level, by the way. And that gives us a baseline to hire incredible attorneys to put together this amazing media presentation for you so you can stay informed and you can share this. Look, I think it's important, even just this moment here with Christy. If you feel like this is happening, share this with maybe someone in your workplace. Share it with someone who you feel like is having this issue. They can then follow up with us. But you know what? Sometimes just knowing the facts, seeing the articles that are on our website, aclj.org, even just that will get you so informed that sometimes it doesn't have to go all the way up to the Supreme Court of the United States. But Christy, if it needs to, we'll certainly be there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we're not at a loss of the fact that sometimes they're not responsive or they don't give us exactly what we've asked for. And so then we are quick to go and file a complaint. That process can take several years, but at the end, we always are seeing good things happening for our clients in regards to sometimes there's a settlement. So you don't have to stay in at a trial and getting all the way to the Supreme Court, but sometimes there's not. And sometimes we do have to fight it all the way up.
I'm going to ask you, thank you, Christy, but I'm going to ask you, the listener, the viewer who's watching us right now, not only sign the petitions, get involved, aclj.org/help. Say a prayer for ACLJ attorneys and their team. They're out there fighting the good fight each and every day for you. And look, under a lot of scrutiny and under a lot of attack each and every day. These are not, it sounds like a fun job. I'm sure there's good parts and bad parts, but just like everyone, they're out there fighting the good fight and they could use your support. So just say a prayer for them. You download the ACLJ prayer guide, really helps you through that as well. We encourage you to do that. We're back with the second half hour. Thanks, Christy, on Seculo.
Keeping you informed and engaged now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to the second half hour of Seculo. This is Logan Seculo. Will Haynes joining us in studio. Professor Harry Hutchinson is joining us coming up in the next segment to talk about the condolences that have gone out from, I don't know, the United States and from other world leaders for the death of the butcher of Tehran. Yeah, the president of Iran, who obviously died in that helicopter crash over the weekend. And I think there has been some conflict. You've seen it even in the press where they've said, you know, he's got a, you know, mixed feelings. You know, we have mixed feelings about the death of the butcher of Tehran, who was responsible for over 100,000 deaths. Oh, yeah, that's I was from the BBC. Said President Raisi's mixed legacy in Iran was the headline that they ran. I want to hear from you, by the way, though, because in the next segment, we'll hear from Professor Hutchinson. And in the last segment, I always like to hear from you because, like I say, you'll have incredible voices on this show. Jeff Balaban from Israel today. You have on one of our attorneys, Christy Campagnone. You have on Professor Harry Hutchinson. Obviously, Will and I giving you all this breakdown. But the most important voice in the room is you. We've got five lines open right now. I'm always honest with you. Five lines open. I posed you a question earlier. I gave you an opportunity to, you know, speak your mind on the Biden administration, and not that many of you called in. I'll be honest. I was a bit disappointed with you. It's just the truth. You can give us a call right now, though, 1-800-684-3110. The question before was, do you think when President Biden says he condemns the ICC for doing what they've done, does he actually believe it? And he can't get his administration actually on board because he's not strong enough a leader to actually get his administration on board with his beliefs? Or is it because he just wants to have it both ways? And then Will brought up an interesting question. He had a question that we think we should pose to you, which is, what do you think is the biggest mistake the administration is doing right now in the Middle East? Not just with Israel, in the Middle East in general. I know that's a heady question as well. So I asked you two questions. Or maybe you got something else. Give me a call at 1-800-684-3110. The ACLJ does have that petition right now, and I'm going to encourage you to sign it because what's the number right now? We're going to find that number. 500,000?
We're at 592,349, to be precise.
I think it's a little hard for sometimes our ACLJ viewers and supporters to understand the vast scope of our base. That is nearly 600,000 people. Imagine that, you know, at a festival or at a, you know, how many stadiums of people that is? Six stadiums of people that have signed on to the ACLJ's specific petition. This isn't some worldwide petition. You know, this is just the ACLJ's petition. You can be a part of that too. And I know that sounds sometimes overwhelming. You may hear that number and go, well, you don't need me. You got 500,000. No, we have to have as many people as we can to support these issues. Show the media, show the press, show the White House that the loudest voices in the room are not representative of the American people. And though they may be platforming people that want to go out and protest Israel, they may want to platform, they want to show them on TV, all these people, you know, they don't show as many of the pro-Zionist or pro-Israel counter-protests that happened. That very little footage of those got out there, though I've seen them from our friend from John Androsik from Five for Fighting or from the Seinfeld family who funded a lot of those. They happened all around the country. Did they get much coverage? Not really. Why? Because they're probably not violent. Because they're not fun to watch on TV. Because what they are is actual peaceful people supporting another peaceful people who just want to live in peace, but instead are living in chaos 24/7. I encourage you to sign that petition at aclj.org/sign and to call in right now. A few of you have, but I'm encouraging more. 1-800-684-3110. I want to see those lines ringing. If you're watching on YouTube, over 400,000 of you are subscribing to our YouTube channel. We know that whenever we go live, about half the people who are watching are not subscribing. It's just the way the YouTube algorithm works. So if you're one of those people, I'm asking you right now to subscribe. Hit that thumbs up. Just like all the kids say, ring the bell, if you will, if you want to get the notifications, and we're live each and every day. And one last thing, if you don't have a comment or question, because it just helps out, and I love reading them, tell me where you're watching from. Put in the chat. Say, hey, Logan, I'm watching from wherever. I like to see the worldwide impact of this broadcast because it's always amazing. There's always a few out there that go, I can't believe our message is reaching that far to the ends of the earth. We could use your support though right now. Again, sign the petition at aclj.org/sign. Harry Hutchinson's joining us in the next segment to talk about the condolences. People that are very sad or very conflicted of the death of the Butcher of Tehran. We'll be right back. Hello, Professor Harry Hutchinson is joining us in studio right now to talk about the condolences that have come out over the death of the Butcher of Tehran. That's right, the president of President Raisi of Iran, who obviously died in that helicopter crash over the weekend. The United States on Monday offered its condolences over the death of Ibrahim Raisi, foreign minister, and the other members of their delegation. Again, this is someone who is known for brutally murdering hundreds of thousands of people, probably, in his regime. And look, I saw Franklin Graham post, and he's like, look, all loss of life, you know, biblically, this is where we need to stand. We need to make sure we are praying for people, praying for people's families. And I can say, you know what? He's a pastor. That's sort of his gig. You don't necessarily expect that from the United States government.
That's right. And when you see a U.S. State Department official spokesperson putting out a press statement that is just two quick sentences. The United States expresses its official condolences for the death of Iranian President Ibrahim Raisi, foreign minister, and other members of the delegation in a helicopter crash in northwest Iran. Second sentence, as Iran selects a new president, we reaffirm our support for the Iranian people and their struggle for human rights and fundamental freedoms. How do you think the individual Iranian people who are struggling for human rights and fundamental freedoms feel about condolences being offered to the Butcher of Tehran, Professor Hutchinson?
I'm very confident that they feel very badly about this. And so while I will concede that humans will continue to debate whether Iran's late president, Ibrahim Raisi, was just like Karl Marx, for instance, and other ideologues, and while they will continue to ask themselves, was he simply an angry, odious, insufferable fantasist? I think it is clear that eternity will render a clear verdict on President Raisi. At the same time, though, it is clear beyond question that the American people should question the condolences offered by President Biden for a man known as the Butcher of Tehran. And so despite his cruel record as a cruel murderer, the United States offered condolences for a man who was a brutal participant in the repression of the Iranian people for decades. So we're not talking about a one-off. We're not talking about a gunburst that killed innocent people.
Right.
We are talking about the systematic killing of Iranians. And I think at the end of the day, the European and American leaders have come up short because they have sided, if you will, with the Iranian regime.
Right. When you have the attacks on Israel and then you have from Iran, and then you have the head of Iran, you know, dying in a helicopter crash. You're right. They can't now say, oh, well, he was terrible. He was, because again, they've started siding, as you said, with that regime. And when that happens, as Will pointed out to me yesterday, yeah, he didn't get the name the Butcher of Tehran yesterday. This is a decades long battle with him, including his own people, who, by the way, there was very split feelings, even within the country. Which I'm sure that would happen, look, for any of our political leaders if they passed away. However, they are political leaders, regardless if you love or hate Joe Biden or love or hate Donald Trump. Their nickname doesn't infer the fact that they murdered hundreds of thousands of their own people. He's had that nickname now for decades.
Right. And I think one of the other things that frustrates me about the story, besides the condolences, besides seeing the deputy ambassador to the UN for the United States actually stand for a moment of silence this man. But what does frustrate me is when you do see kind of the split narrative coming out of Iran, where you see reports of fireworks and celebrations, and you see people who have left Iran that have defected that are posting on social media how frustrated they are with this and how happy they are that he is no longer alive. But you see the American media showing the clips of what they're calling the faithful, the people in Iran, and not understanding, one, how Iran works, that propaganda is a real thing. And their news in Iran is state media.
Right.
So, of course, when you're seeing images of thousands of people, you have to take everything with a grain of salt. Now, yes, are there hardliners that love the repression of women?
Yeah.
That love Sharia law?
Yeah.
Yeah. I bet that they are pretty upset because they probably use Butcher of Tehran as a good thing.
Yeah.
But there are plenty of other people that are in that crowd that are there because they're forced to be. And yet our media will show these images, Professor Hutchison, as if this is just the truth, that he was a beloved leader in Iran, and not even question for a second where their source is. They're more upset about things coming out of the UK with the Princess of Wales in an Instagram post than they are with the imagery coming out of Iran that is most likely manipulated propaganda.
I think you're absolutely correct. And our media has been deficient in not accurately portraying the history of this brutal killer and his history. If we go back, for instance, to 2009 and 2010, there was the so-called Green Movement. There was the Twitter Revolution. And what did the United States government do then? The Obama administration did very, very little in responding to the repression of the Iranian people. So I think at the end of the day, the American people should be very disappointed with respect to the response of the United States and with response to the European community. So can we ever look the brave women and men who are fighting for freedom in Iran in the eye again after sharing our condolences? Certainly, I am prepared to concede that we should be grateful that the American government did not send billions of dollars in lieu of flowers to the Iranian regime.
Right.
But what the American government essentially did is it caved into terror.
Yeah, we should have in a moment, you'll actually be able to hear from the administration what they directly said, because it was a sort of brutal moment of truth. If we don't have it in this next segment, we'll get it for you coming up, and you'll be able to hear it just straight from the source, if you will. And I think when you hear it, if you watch during the breaks, if you're a social media viewer, you may have seen it in sort of our montage videos, but when you hear it actually coming from the administration, I think it'll make your stomach churn a bit. Because again, no one wishes that accidents happen, those kind of things. That's horrible. Franklin Grant, but all death can be considered tragic, if you will, especially when you pray for people and their families. So I don't want to discount people like Franklin Graham, who are, again, they're pastors. That's their job. They go beyond U.S. government relations. But I don't want that coming out of the United States, official White House. I don't want that. That is egregious and a horrible offense. I want to hear from you, though, in this next segment coming up, because we do have some open lines. So give me a call at 1-800-684-3110. 1-800, you can see the number right there, 684-3110. Call in. What is your reaction to the outpouring, if you will, I saw it all over the internet, but from the administration, like I said, who stood in the moment of silence?
So it was the deputy UN ambassador. So it's our ambassador to the UN, the deputy.
Though.
Yeah, he stood for the moment of silence they were holding at the UN for Ibrahim Raisi.
Okay, I think we have that clip.
Miller. Yeah, so this is a spokesperson for the State Department yesterday when questioned why they put out a condolences statement for the death of the Iranian president.
exactly is official condolences?
It's a condolences on behalf of the United States government.
I'm not even sure why you're offering condolences if you, this guy was as bad as you say he was.
Look,
why? I mean,
because we regret any loss of life.
Aren't you sending contradictory messages?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. Harry, I want to get you, before we go to break, I want to get your thoughts on that.
Well, the Biden administration is a contradiction in action. It consistently contradicts itself. And so on one hand, Biden wants to be president of the United States. But on the other hand, apparently he wants to be pastor of the world.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, I want you to help us right now sign that petition. We have a petition right now because you've obviously heard all of our support of Israel. We're unabashedly talking about the support of Israel, and we know that the ICC announced those arrest warrants. Well, you can be a part of over 500,000 people who have already signed that petition. We need more. We need your support. We need to be able to showcase the millions of people who are in support of Israel. Stand up today with us at the ACLJ. Go to aclj.org/sign, aclj.org/sign to do that. Or just go to aclj.org, play around, look at the incredible content. Professor Hutchinson writes some amazing content that's on there. So does the rest of our team. Go on there, spend time on there. Great resources. Obviously, if you need legal help, you can get that there as well. And we do this broadcast on the website as well each and every day. Okay, we get back. Again, the most important voice in the room is always you, and we're going to line up some calls. So get in line right now. 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. Calls coming up in just a minute. Welcome back to Secular. We are going to take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. A couple lines just opened up, so I don't know if some people dropped off, but you can give us a call. Again, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go ahead and kick it off with some calls. Let's go to Peggy, who is calling in Florida, who's watching on YouTube. Thank you for all of you who watch on YouTube. And again, I'm asking you, if you're new or you haven't yet, hit that subscribe button. We appreciate it. Peggy, go ahead.
Hey, Logan. Nice to talk to you guys. I've been a supporter of ACLJ and of Israel for all my adult life.
Thank you.
And I just am outraged to let you know that this administration has lumped us into so-called condolences. And it's not Biden. He doesn't know what he's doing. It's Obama, who has supported this evil regime the whole presidency he had and continues to support them.
Peggy, spot on. We saw that with Iran throughout the entire Obama administration. And sure, this is just reflecting that.
It was early in President Obama's administration when the Green Revolution took off. It was 2009. He hadn't been, I think it was the summer of that year. So he had only been president for under 6 months. And there's an uprising in Iran. There's students that are leading this. They're in the streets and they are taking on the Ahmadinejad presidency and the Ayatollah. And they're pushing back, and there was a real moment the world thought there could be change in Iran, and it was crickets from the U.S. They didn't support in any way. They didn't even speak in favor of the protests. And why? Because the team behind President Obama had these grand visions of a nuclear deal with the Iranians. They were starting to lay the framework then. So they didn't want regime change because then they'd lose their opportunity to have this big political breakthrough with the Iranians. And we saw the disaster that was. And then we saw how President Trump, during his administration, put them in a corner. There wasn't a lot coming out of Iran during those years because of crippling sanctions. And now you see when the foot is let off the gas when it comes to sanctions, when it goes back to the JV team under Obama, that is now the varsity team under Biden, the same bad policies are implemented, but worse. And that's what you're seeing here. You're seeing congratulations, or condolences rather, to the Iranian regime.
Yeah. Let's play that again. Can we play that clip? This is from yesterday. Who is this again?
This is Matt Miller, the State Department spokesperson.
Exactly is official condolences.
It's a condolences on behalf of the United States government.
I'm not even sure why you're offering condolences if you, this guy was as bad as you say he was.
Look,
why? I mean,
because we regret any loss of life.
Aren't you sending contradictory messages?
Absolutely not.
Yep, there you go. That's from the official statement from the Biden administration. Let's continue on. Take some phone calls. Anthony is calling from Pennsylvania, online 2. You're on the air.
put me down in the category of terribly upset with this. I just can't. Well, I guess I can't believe they did it. The Biden and the Biden administration. But can you imagine if Trump did this, the media would be saying that Trump is cozying up to dictators.
Absolutely. I think, Anthony, you are spot on, which is whenever President Trump has said anything about some, let's say, world leaders, that maybe is him being diplomatic, trying to make some moves, trying to make some negotiations happen. Maybe isn't, you know, just completely slamming the president of China, of someone like that. Sure. They take it and they run with it. If this was that situation, of course, this would be a Democrat talking point that they would use for decades.
People can't forget that this regime funds terror. They are the biggest exporter of terror around the globe. When we release sanctions, they use that money not to make it better for their people, but to fund more terrorism. Hamas, Hezbollah, the Houthis, and around the world, they are funding terror. This would be similar to an official condolence when Gaddafi died. Just put it in that context. This was dictatorial, funding terrorism, and they're saying we offer official condolences to a terrorist leader. It makes no sense.
Hey, we have like jammed lines right now. I'm going to ask our phone screener, if you're listening, you're on hold, however it is, try to keep it short, not the current person I'm about to go to. See if they can get a bunch of calls up that are like, you know, have a sentence or two. And we'll try to get through as many of you guys as possible. Let's go to Carolyn, who's calling from New Jersey on line 5. You're on the air.
Hello. I was wondering, what was the official response from the U.S. government when Hitler or Stalin died?
You know, I was looking that up after you saw that, because, you know, I thought that was actually a part of history that I've never really looked into, which was, what was the official response when Hitler died? And the response was really no official reaction. At that point, the war had been, according to some of the reports I've read over the last segment, the war had started to come to an end. Everyone expected Germany to end up defeated at that point. But remember, you're coming out of a war that took, you know, millions of lives. Unfortunately is what it is. But the New York Post, or the Daily News, it was New York Post, posted large letters, radio, Nazi radio announces Hitler dead. You know, so again, celebratorial jubilation that happened in America and happened in Britain. So again, that's what happened. And just a week later, the war ended. Then the parades, you know, broke out. It was a bit different. However, again, would the U.S. have put out, even if Hitler had died in some sort of accident, you know, not in a way in the middle of wartime, if you will, would they have said, oh, you know what? We got mixed feelings about this. All death is a loss. You know, it's a loss of humanity. It just is what it is. So you know what? We're praying for Hitler and his family. I don't think they'd be saying that.
No.
But of course, because it has to do with the Middle East, they're very concerned. Now, Iran, you don't want to mess with Iran. It's not like a country that, you know, it's kind of easy to lump in a lot of the Middle East as sort of third world, if you will. But really, that's not necessarily how it is.
Well, in the fact that they have billions of dollars.
That's what I mean, in terms of money and military.
But unfortunately, they don't let their people thrive.
Right.
The Persian people, the people of Iran, are brilliant people. They are an ancient people, and they have a vibrant culture that has been repressed by the theocratic dictators that are installed as the leadership in Iran. And it's truly heartbreaking of them squashing the rights of their citizens, the minority citizens there. We talked about the stay that happened for a Jewish citizen of Iran. There's only 8,200 Jewish citizens left in Iran. But yet there was a stay because they were trying to execute him because he defended himself against an attack by Muslim men. There is just, it's an upside down bizarro world, and they spend all the money that they do get instead on making that culture more vibrant and rich again. They spend it on terror.
Let's take last call. Steve's calling in Florida, line 3. Sorry, the rest of you, we didn't get to you today. Steve, you're on the air.
Hey, how are you guys today? Thanks for taking my call. I just had a quick comment. Based on the theory that they were offering condolences for this guy's death, we should have been offering condolences for Osama bin Laden's death.
Right. If they truly say that all loss of life is tragic, it's like, yes, we killed him with our SEAL Team 6, but official condolences to the family.
Countless amount of people who died. Yeah, it is what it is. Hey, we see this counterculture happening right now. We see the support of Israel becoming rapidly more and more painful for the people of Israel, for American Christian Zionists. I think that's important, too, is always to point out that when they're talking about the Jewish people, they're talking about Zionists. That means you, the evangelical Christian, likely. Remember that you are the enemy to them as well. We need to stand up against the International Criminal Court right now. Tell the Biden administration that we need to put sanctions on them for their abhorrent attack on Israel and calling for the arrest of Israel's leaders for simply fighting back after they were attacked. You can do that right now. Sign that petition, aclj.org/sign. aclj.org/sign. As I said earlier with Christy, pray for our legal team. Pray for our country right now. We encourage you to support the work of the ACLJ by going to aclj.org. Become an ACLJ champion if you can. We'll be back tomorrow. So much happening. See you then.